For the last few weeks, we've been considering the subject of faith. And for some reason we're not getting faith, but just a moment. Right, success. Message of faith, yes. Thank you, Tim, in the nick of time. Your faith did it, you see, you didn't need to touch it, you see. I'd like to read quite a well-known passage from the New Testament, the healing of the boy with the evil spirit from Mark chapter 9. Let's just look at this passage. It concerns a man who had some trouble with his faith. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. And the man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit which has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. "Everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. And the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. And after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." We've taken as our theme for this short series of messages that we live by faith and not by sight. We've seen that, we reminded ourselves that in the world people would say to you, "Make sure you see all the evidence before you believe. See and then you will believe." Jesus says there are many things which the opposite is true. We need to believe in order to see. And we've had a series of messages now, and we've seen how a Christian is a person who comes to faith at some point in his life. And at that point, he sees himself as a sinful person before a holy God. And he sees the cross in a new light. He sees Jesus as the man who died for his sins. And by faith, he can put his trust in Jesus. By faith, he repents and puts his total trust and confidence in Jesus. It is all by faith. And then we saw in our first session, our first message, that as soon as he comes to faith, he sees his whole lifespan in a different light. He sees that his lifespan in particular is quite temporary on this earth. His life on this earth is a little bit like living in a tent, you remember we were thinking of. just like a temporary existence. The whole purpose of life is what comes beyond that. The purpose of life is to prepare him for an eternity with God in heaven. So he sees the whole of his life in a totally new perspective. And when we've got this new perspective on life, and we see our whole lifespan in this new light, it affects pretty well everything we do. I remember reading some years ago about a pastor in a Ugandan church, time of the great troubles there. And after an Easter Day service, he was walking home, and he was confronted by five gunmen. And they said, "We're going to kill you, so if you want to say anything, say it now before you die." And the pastor just sensed a voice speaking through him, and it was a moment or two before he realized it was his own voice. And he said to those gunmen, he said, I don't remember the exact words, but something to this effect. He says, "My life belongs to God. And whether I live or die, it's of no consequence. I am in his hands. You are the people who are in real trouble. You are facing a lost eternity. So before you shoot me, will you give me a few minutes just to pray for you that God will have mercy on you? Because you're the people in real trouble." And something must have got through to those men, and the leader of this gang of five men let his gun just sink like that to the ground. And he said, "Do pray for us." That word from the Lord had really gone home to him. And those five men eventually joined that pastor's church. Just a word from the Lord. But you see, that pastor would not have been able to speak that way unless he was totally secure in his faith in God. He knew his life was totally secure in God's hands, and he could speak like that because he knew, live or die, it doesn't much matter, I am in God's hands. So when we view our whole lifespan like this, it totally changes our whole outlook. It changes pretty well everything we do in life. Now, hopefully we'll never be confronted with life and death situations like that. No gunmen are going to come and poke their guns at us, but you never know. But it does affect ordinary things like what we buy, the plans we make, how we view our friends. When we see our whole lifespan is simply a preparation for what God has in store for us, the whole purpose of life is that we should be ready to live with him in eternity. That alters our whole outlook on everything we do, our whole lifespan. Now, last time we were talking about the heart of the matter, and I left you with a question, you remember. Whether we have settled with a level of faith which simply tells us that we are Christian folk. We've settled for that level of faith where we have seen ourselves as sinful before a holy God. We've come to the Lord. We've, by faith, we've repented of our sin, and we've put our total confidence in him. That's a tremendous step of faith, and it's important that everybody should reach that point. But the question I put to you last time was this: have we settled at that level of faith and no more? Because we looked at a prayer of the Apostle Paul, remember? You see, at the heart of this life of faith is the presence of Jesus in the heart. And we looked at that prayer in Ephesians where Paul prays that we might be strengthened by faith in our inner spirits, that we might come to know the love of God, the extent of the love of God. We might come to know the presence of Jesus in our heart in a new way. We might be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. We might be filled with the Spirit. Now, he is talking here to people who knew they were Christians. They'd reached that level of faith where they knew they were Christians, and he's wanting them to go much, much further. And so that was the question that I posed last time. Have we settled for a level of faith which simply enables us to say, yes, I know I'm a Christian, I know I'm safe and secure for eternity, and I don't want to go any further with my faith, because there's much further to go. The Lord wants to take us much, much deeper. The Apostle Paul prayed for those Christian people that they would go much more deeply into their relationship with him. Now, you see, faith comes in lots of different levels. And we need to ask ourselves, what level have I reached? How do we proceed to greater levels of faith? Well, it's like this. If we use the faith that we already have, and we use it in everyday experiences of life which enable us to believe something and actually see the results of this, then our faith will grow. Use the faith that we have. Now, I'd just like to point out one or two areas of life where we can actually use the faith that we have, and we'll see our faith, see results, and see our faith grow. First thing, believe in the fullness of the Spirit and see the streams of living water flowing from within us. We reminded ourselves last time of this verse, didn't we? He who believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this, he meant the Spirit. Now, you remember last time we actually prayed at the end of our service, Lord, will you fill me with your Spirit? Now, if we really prayed that prayer and really meant it, have we noticed any difference? I wonder. I don't think anyone can pray that prayer with sincerity and not notice a difference in our life. If we pray that prayer in faith, believe that he does fill us with his Spirit, we will see the outworking of it as sure as anything. But maybe we think, well, okay, I've asked God to fill me with his Spirit, but as I look at my life, I can't really say that I can see streams of living water flowing from me. I can't see streams of Jesus' life flowing from me into everyday life. I can't see this happening. Well, can we just change the picture slightly to explain this? Remember Jesus on one occasion said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, he said this to Christian folk. He said this to his disciples. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He didn't say, now you've got to really try hard to be branches. He said, you are the branches. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He says that to every one of us. If we're Christian people, we are the branches. Now, what does a branch do? A branch allows the life of the vine to flow through. Now, if we're a Christian, then that is true of us. The life of Jesus will be flowing through. And if we say to ourselves, I can't see much of the life of Jesus flowing through me at the moment, we may be a very weak branch. We may be a branch that needs pruning and dealing with by God. But a branch we certainly are if we're Christian. Every Christian is a branch and the life is flowing through. Maybe only weakly. Go back to our other picture, the one up here. If we say, well, I've asked God to fill me with his Spirit, fill me with all the fullness of God, and I can't see anything much flowing through me, well, it is, but maybe it's only a trickle. And why is it only a trickle? Because we need greater faith. Faith comes in different measures. Perhaps I've got a very weak faith. The water will be flowing. It's living water. It will flow through, but I don't see much. It's because I need to increase my faith. We need to grow in faith. And so how do we do that? Well, by using the faith that we have in ordinary everyday life and seeing how God works in response to that faith. Every situation we meet, remind ourselves, we prayed this prayer, Lord, as I go into this situation, I am filled with your Spirit. Lord, I want to just see how your life is going to flow out of me into this situation. If I meet somebody who I know is going to be a bit of a difficult person to deal with, Lord, I'm filled with your Spirit. Give me the word to say to that person. Seeing somebody who's a bit unwell in difficult circumstances. Lord, I don't know how to deal with this situation. Lord, I'm filled with your Spirit. Will you show me the right words to say? Give me the right approach to this person. And we will see the difference. We will really see the difference. Do you remember when Peter and John were instrumental in healing that lame man? And afterwards, Peter was hauled up before the Jewish council and asked to account for what had happened. And he says, it's nothing to do with me. I have no healing power. It's all done through Jesus. And he was able to stand up before the Jewish council and confound them with the words that he used And he was an uneducated, ordinary working man. But he was filled with the Spirit. And he just sensed what the Spirit was telling him to say in front of those men. And we will experience the same thing if every time we go into any situation in life, we remind ourselves, the Spirit of God is within me. And if we ask him to fill us, then we will experience the outflow of that Spirit in some way or other. So that's the first thing that we need to do. Can I just point out another area where we can actually believe and then see the difference? Pray in the Spirit. This is Paul's command to us. Pray in the Spirit. Then just take steps of faith to see the answers. we were looking at that story early of that man who had a little bit of a problem with his faith. And our faith in prayer can move in steps. That man was having difficulty with the first step. The first step of faith in prayer says that God can deal with this situation. Now, suppose you had a problem and you knew that a friend of yours might be able to help you. It would be quite natural, wouldn't it, for us to go to the friend and say, look here, I've got this problem. I just wonder if you could help me. If you could help me here, I'd be really grateful. And that would be a nice, friendly, polite way of approaching that friend, wouldn't it? That's exactly what this man did with Jesus. He said, Lord, I've got this problem. If you can possibly help me, I really would like it. And Jesus rebuked him. He rebuked him for using the word if. We do not use that word with God. The lowest level of faith in prayer is to realize that God can deal with this situation. We never wonder, is it possible for God to deal with this? There's nothing, we've just been singing about it, nothing is impossible with God. So the first step of faith in prayer is to believe that God can do this. There's nothing impossible. But then there's a higher step of faith than that. If we pray believingly, pray not only that God can, but that God will do something here. Now, this is a bit tricky, isn't it? Because we often pray for things and for some reason they don't happen. This often happens in a healing situation, that somebody's poorly, we pray for them, and they don't get better. And we think, well, what's gone wrong here, Lord? How can I possibly believe that God is going to do this thing as I'm praying? Well, the whole secret is praying in the Spirit. This is not, I'm not suggesting this is an easy thing, but the closer we get to praying in the Spirit, getting to know the presence of the indwelling Christ, getting to know his will, then the more we will be able to pray knowing that God is going to do this, being assured that what we're praying for is what God is going to do. There is yet another level of faith in prayer. I don't think I've really touched on this, but I know people who have. And it's when we're enabled to say, not only God will, but God has done this. Remember the words of Jesus? Whenever you pray, believe that you have received. Not that you're going to. Pray that you believe that you have received, and it will be yours. I wonder how many of us are able to do that. We saw the film on the life of George Muller, didn't we? I've still got the DVD if anybody would like to see it again, or if you haven't seen it. And he was a great man of faith, wasn't he? And one of the most famous occasions where he exhibited this faith, you perhaps remember the instance, everybody quotes it, but it's worth rehearsing before us because it's such a tremendous thing. You remember he was opening up children's homes entirely on a faith principle, not telling anybody of his needs, just bringing them to God in prayer, and God met his prayers on every occasion. And there's this amazing occasion when the children in one of the homes were coming down for breakfast, and the food had run out. Now they had prayed that God would supply their needs, and all the children were gathered there, and Muller just prayed a grace. He said, "Thank you, Father, for the food that you're going to lay before us this morning." Nothing was there. And a knock came at the door. There was the baker. I couldn't sleep. God kept reminding me that you would need bread this morning, kept on prodding me. So here's some bread. A little while later, another knock on the door, and the milkman calls. He says, for some strange reason, my van's broken down, and I've just got to get rid of these crates of milk now so that I can get it repaired. Can you use them? There was the breakfast. Now, Mullen prayed, believing that God had answered, and he just was waiting for the answers to come along. I don't think I've ever really touched on that, but this is another level of faith that we need to aspire to. And it all comes if we can get to know how to pray in the Spirit. And then there's another area that we might look at. Believe in the shield of faith to protect us from anxieties and fears. Believe and we'll see. Believe the shield of faith is there, and we will see, we will experience the peace of God which passes all understanding. How do we do that? Well, we remind ourselves of the scriptures. I've just brought out a few here that will help us, things to meditate on when things seem to go wrong in life. When something seems to go wrong and you think, well, this is an absolute disaster, then remind ourselves of this verse that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. In all things. Now, you may be facing some terrible disaster, and it'll take some time to spend with God rehearsing this verse, believing it, just letting that verse of Scripture become part of us. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, the Scripture said. We need to meditate on it, ponder it until it's really part of our life. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Lord, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to exercise my faith. I'm going to believe that even in this situation, which seems such a disaster, I'm going to believe that you, in this very thing, you're going to bring about something good. I will never leave you or forsake you. Maybe we're feeling absolutely desolate and alone in some situation. Keep speaking this word out to into our spirits. I will never leave you or forsake you. Lord, I believe this. Help me to know it in this very situation that I am meeting now. And then there's that other lovely verse, isn't there? You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Lord, I'm just looking now for this peace in this situation. Lord, by nature I feel anxious and worried about this situation, but I'm going to keep on repeating this scripture to myself until it becomes part of me. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast. So, well, there are many other areas, of course, where we can exercise our faith, and I've only tried to bring together a few of them this morning. If we can just believe in the fullness of the Spirit, believe that I'm filled with the Spirit and the life of Jesus is going to flow through me in every situation that I meet with in life, exercise that faith, believe that it's true, and we will see the answers. Believe it, and we will see. Pray in the Spirit and see the answers. See if we can work our way up those different stages of faith, those steps of faith. Maybe we haven't got to that top one. I have certainly haven't. But it's something that is there for us. It's there in the Scripture. And believe in the shield of faith to protect us from all anxieties and fears. There should be no reason why we get anxious or fearful for the future if we're a person of faith. So I leave these things with you this morning. Let's see if we can create an environment of faith in this fellowship so that everything we do, everything we say is based upon faith. And let's encourage each other in faith. I do remember once living for a short period in a Christian community where they had covenanted with each other that they would make sure that everything they said was in accordance with the Scripture and in accordance with faith. And they agreed to challenge each other. If anything that we say is not in faith, oh, I'm really worried about this situation this morning. Hang on, you're worried? Is there any need to be worried? Be anxious about nothing. Fear of the future. Or anything that seems to go, oh, I'm so angry, this has gone wrong today. Angry? Doesn't God work together for good? I know it can be done in an unkind way. We can be reminded of these things. But if we all covenant with each other that in love we're going to try to encourage each other in faith, then we will create an environment of faith here, and that nothing would stop this fellowship moving forward. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this possibility, this gift you give us of faith, because we know that it connects us to you and it connects us to the power of your Spirit. So will you help us in these coming days, Lord, to exercise the faith that we have and see that faith growing. Lord, we know your disciples came to you and said, Lord, increase our faith. We would pray that prayer for ourselves this morning. Lord, will you increase our faith and the whole faith of this fellowship? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand for our final song now. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you.